You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and this is it. This is the end of the season, my friend. It's funny, you know, just looking back, July 31st was our preview pod for this season. I mean, it's almost a year to complete this historic season. You know, there was a couple of things to get sorted out today. Very exciting final day of the Premier League season. The Champions League spots had to be finalised, and the remaining two teams to be relegated was also sorted out today. We'll get to them, but we will start at the top of the league table and the race for the Champions League. Leicester City against Man United. United prevailed 2-0, Rob. Job well done by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer today and for the season in general?
For the season in general, absolutely. I think, Rob, even if we'd have said, even at Project Restart, I mean, I know they had the momentum, but we weren't sure. I think at that point, Leicester were 8 points ahead of Manchester United when we started. But there has been a sense that United have been getting the momentum. There's a sense that, obviously, the Bruno Fernandes link has been a catalyst to a lot of good things. Paul Pogba coming back into the football club. In a strange way, the football hasn't been as sparkly in the last few games. I thought they controlled elements of the match without really exciting. Didn't at times look as though they were that bothered about scoring because a draw would have been good enough. But at the end of the day, Rob, it's about getting the job done. They've got the job done. They finished third in Champions League football. They can now take a view of the Europa League and whether Ollie thinks that's something to worth pursuing through August. Or I personally think it's something he should be thinking about resting, getting his team ready for the start of the new year.
Yeah, I mean, big game today, you know, and I think we said in the preview show today, Rob, that both this game and the Chelsea game, they were kind of dangerous, awkward opponents. Yeah. And Leicester City, I thought, played well, and Brendan Rodgers said as such afterwards. But United never really looked stretched, Rob, did they? It wasn't that much drama. It wasn't one of their silky performances, but I think at this point, who cares? Like, it does not matter what the game looked like today. They'll benefit from this run since restart. It's been really good, really positive. We know about Bruno Fernandes. I think when you look forward about what the young players have developed this season, that's really important. Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial has stepped up when, you know, I wanted him to step up and show us that he could be the nine and be a all-round number nine. I think there's been really good signs recently for that. And Greenwood again. I mean, it's exciting times. They've got the job done.
Yeah,
it's got to mean, Rob, that if they are going to go for a Jadon Sancho or other big-time players, that Champions League football has to be a big pull. And, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he deserves credit. I mean, today was defining, Rob. It really was a big day for him and Lampard to pull through in a big game situation, and he's done it.
I mean, it's interesting, Rob, because people seem to, and I'm not saying you are there, but people seem to be a little bit sceptical, a bit slow to say Ollie deserves the credit, when if most of the managers had got them in the top four from where they started, I think we would say that's a job well done. And I think he deserves the credit like others would deserve the credit. He deserves now his couple of transfer windows to mould this team how he wants to mould this team. And we have to give him the time, give him the money, and then we'll see where Manchester United are. We've seen, and I've said, slivers of what Manchester United want to be and what Manchester United used to be, that front foot, attacking, forward threat, pacey football team that can put you to the sword. We haven't seen that in the Van Gaal era. We didn't see that in the Jose era. We've seen glimpses of it with Ollie. Now what Ollie's got to show is that can be who Manchester United are on a consistent basis. And my notes when I was doing my bit of research, Rob, when I was looking through the team, I thought, on good days when Manchester United got their best 11, they can go pretty much toe-to-toe with most teams in the league. Now, Liverpool and Man City might have different elements. But outside that top 11, Rob, we start going deep to, like, places 14, 15, 16 in a squad. They're nowhere near match the rest of the other top teams.
Yeah, I think that will be addressed, hopefully, in the window for their fans to get some new players in. You know, when I look back on it, Rob, and trying to summarise it and to get to where they are right now, the pandemic has been awful worldwide,
yeah,
no question. But the break that the virus gave all clubs and all teams really helped United, or aided them getting important players fit again. Paul Pogba is an important player. Marcus Rashford is an important player. The break enabled them to get fit, to get healthy, to get sharp, to get ready to play, which made it exciting to see this team come back.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to see it. I remember saying it, like, this is going to be fun to watch with this team, with Bruno Fernandes and Pogba and those attacking players. That's been an important part of producing the team they have today. Credit also for Mason Greenwood's development and Fred Gunnar Solskjaer's been very careful, Rob, hasn't he? You know, very careful with him all season long. Feels now that he's reliable enough for a run of games. His goals number, given the starts he's had, is very, very good. 11 starts before today, 10 goals. That's really, really good. So it's exciting for the future. And he's organised it. And, you know, I'm sure United fans now will wait to see what the ownership do, Rob, in terms of what money is going to be available. And of all the things that's been important to get to this point where United are, it has been the thing that we talk about on every pod, Rob, recruitment and better signings, better characters, less risky, younger, more of a profile, of a hungry profile.
Yeah.
Want to prove themselves at United instead of coming as top players that can be sulky or just a riskier signing. So that's being a real important part of this, and to get to club where they are now. All the recent signings, really, Rob, have really done particularly well.
Yeah. Of course,
Bruno Fernandes is the headline player, but the Wan-Bissakas and the Maguires and Dan James early on, you know, they've been good, and there's a good spirit and a mentality about the team.
Can we just start to think about, and I know we've just finished the team, but can we think about what success for United is next stage? I'm trying to sort of put it in, and maybe Manchester United fans won't like the past, but Jurgen Klopp did it at Liverpool. So there was a progression each year with players coming in, with better football, with getting close to things, and then they went close to when they should have won it with City, and they won it. So if we're on those steps with Manchester United, they finished third this time, but 33 points behind the leaders. Is it about closing the gap, Rob? Is it about finishing third again, closing the gap? Maybe a domestic cup?
Yeah.
That's success.
Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes, listen, when this team plays to its full capacity, you know, and we've seen that early weeks after the restart, it's like, wow. Like, some of the technical football, some of the finishing, some of the speed, some of the counter-attacks, some of the intricate football by Bruno Fernandes, you look at them and say, this team looks good enough to win a Premier League title. Of course, we've always said with that, that consistency from some of these players is still an if.
Yeah.
If Martial can be the man next season, if Greenwood can keep developing, if Pogba really wants to beat United and keeps driving his game and has a big season, if Bruno Fernandes keeps the same, you know, there's too many ifs for me to be on this podcast and say they've got a great chance of winning the Premier League.
They
will close the gap. No. There will be progression and development. It's just it will take a monumental jump of mentality, consistency, of new recruitment in the summer to win the Premier League next year. But listen, it takes time. We talked about it on our show. Like, Jurgen Klopp has had 4 years of steady, obvious, measurable improvement. And this is a path now that it looks like United are on. We'll see what they do in the summer to make them even better. But lots of signs of encouragement. And you said it today on the show, Rob. Since Sir Alex Ferguson, this feels like the most optimistic United fans can be, or should be.
I just want to have a quick word before we move on, Rob, at Leicester City, because there's no doubt that's going to feel like disappointment. Majority of the season been in top three, was second at one point in the league. I say there were 8 points, I believe, ahead of United when we got to Project Restart. And I kind of feel like, of course, you're disappointed the Emirates meets Champions League, having been there so far. But Rob, if we think where we were at the start, where they finished, where Arsenal have finished, where Spurs are, there's a lot of promise here at the football club. He's a good manager. There's some good young players who, again, I'll say, will get better for the experience, who've come through a season. who, on missing out and being disappointed, okay, how does that motivate you again? I don't think it's doom and gloom for Leicester. Leicester are a team who could disrupt the top six.
They've done it.
Yeah.
They've done it, Rob. I'm looking at the table right now. If we like rewind the clock and look at an end table that has Leicester City in fifth spot behind, right behind Chelsea, just four points behind them, and of course ahead of Spurs and ahead of Arsenal.
Yeah.
That's what their target was, and that would have been a very optimistic target. Mm. I mean, I never thought that they could break into the top six this season. And I know it's disappointing given, was it the 14-point lead over United?
Yeah, at turn of the year, yeah.
So, you know, of course it would be disappointing for some, but as long as their main players can remain at the football club, Rob, and we know they've got so many good young players that are proven at a very high level, that the biggest clubs in the country will be interested in those players. It's just whether the ownership, and I think we know the ownership's kind of feeling on this, is they'll do everything they can to keep these players, and they'll put massive numbers on Chilwell or Maddison, whoever it is. That's the important part. But Brendan Rodgers done a very, very good job. We'll want some more players to come in to try and help them to development. But fifth place in the Premier League for this Leicester City team is blimmin' good, even though it feels a little bit disappointing. Just an excellent finishing spot for them.
Absolutely agree with you. Let's move to Stamford Bridge, because it was a big game there and laced with danger, I thought, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Difficult team, well set up, good without the ball, can threaten with the ball, can score goals and counter-attack. So I thought this was a game that's going to challenge Chelsea. 54 goals conceded for Frank Lampard's outfit, which he knows is too many. They got hold of the game when they needed to at the right time. Two goals just before half-time gave them the comfort position they needed. And then it wasn't really that much in doubt. I just want to point to, Rob, because we've learned a lot about Frank in this last year. From the first day when we were at Old Trafford and we saw his team get beat 4-0 by Manchester United, and we were a little bit like, you know, they were a bit naive. And then to where we are, where they finished, top four, got the Champions League spot. Big call with the goalkeeper today, Rob, that I think gives us a bit of an insight into the man and the manager who was Frank Lampard. To drop Kepa and play Willy Caballero in such a big game when they needed at least a draw to make sure they were in, that takes some cojones, as Troy Deeney would say.
Yeah, it does. And if there's ever a time to put out there what he feels about Kepa, this is it. This is a bigger statement as you're going to see from any manager regarding important and key players. He's dropped him for this last and vital game in the goal.
Yeah,
it's a clean sheet. They get the job done. Kepa, $93 million, most expensive goalkeeper, at a good age of 25 years of age. Frank doesn't fancy him. And that's a big... Yeah. I mean...
Does that seem just a football decision to me? Because to be honest, Rob, I know at times a few things have gone past him and people, you know, it's easy now. Oh, we should have got that. Well, it feels to me like it's more than football. It's more than just his performances haven't been great, but they've not been that bad, have they?
So what you're hinting at is that around the dressing room, around the training ground,
he's something.
Whether he's not a great pro, whether his personality is such,
like more than just the football and just my sense of you know.
Has he been that bad? That's what you're talking. Has he been that bad to drop him in a massive game
statement.
Like this?
That's just, like you say, it's not just dropping him, it's making that statement in this game. He could have dropped him the game before if he wanted to drop him.
Yeah. And then, you know, when we saw him in that game, Rob, where he wouldn't come off the field, was under Sarri, where, you know, he was that little insight into his personality. And maybe he's a very headstrong, opinionated, difficult player to manage, but it's even so, when your club spend that amount of money, Rob, on a big position, a massive fee, and basically to say don't really fancy him, that's a big call. And I'm sure, well, I don't know if I'm sure if whether the club, if he spoke to the club about it,
say, have you got the backing of the club, or
does he have a backing?
You're going to lose $40 odd million if you're going to try and get him out.
And
there's a big game coming up for Chelsea next weekend, which I think we already. I think I know the answer. I mean, Kepa doesn't start in the FA Cup, does he?
Can't see it. Why would he? I mean, incredibly important game. Comes in, keeps a clean sheet. Yeah, and just one more game for Frank to talk to Kepa and say, you're not playing, mate. I mean, it's, and then who knows what's going to happen after that. So big call. But to be fair, he's made big calls all season with all different players.
Yeah.
And I tell you, in terms of being impressed with Frank Lampard, I think his emotional energy, I think, has fueled the team all season long, Rob. I can't remember there being a period where they look flat. Of course, they've had some bad
days. They've turned up, haven't they? They had those days. We never
discussed, it looks a little bit, they struggle a little bit. He's not getting as much across. So he's kept that motivation. That's
like energy for the job, hasn't it? It's like he's enjoyed the job.
Yeah. And that's helped him. Playing these young players and seeing them develop, again, big calls to play Mason Mount, to keep playing him. And Mount, as the other young players, have repaid his faith with great performances, consistent performances, and may have saved the club millions in certain positions. Now we know he's got Ziyech coming in, and Timo Werner, and maybe Kai Havertz. That gives a very juicy-looking front line with Giroud and Tammy Abraham and Christian Pulisic.
But the defence out, my friend. We need to sort the defence out. If he's going to go where he wants to go, and if this team are going to push on, you know, over the years, you've got to get that defence. That is an issue.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we'll talk some more Chelsea after. I think a final, which is next Saturday.
We'll do a pod
on the back of that game, just to kind of go over the cup final and a few other things that we're going to talk about. But no, full marks to Frank Lampard. I had him out of my top four. We didn't go back and revisit our predictions.
No, we can have a look at that.
Yeah. I tell you right now, I'll own up, but I didn't have Chelsea in the top four. So, well done. Very, very well done. And his first kind of...
Very good first season in charge. Made some big decisions, not being afraid to call people out. Even the little video with the Klopp stuff and that. It's part of me that's like, as a young coach, okay, the language and maybe the thing, but... Yeah. Sticking up for what he believes, sticking up for each football club. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I like real Frank. There's a lot of kind of, God, there's so many managers that just minimal interaction with the media. I mean, I guess it's like a player, Robin. It's a little war as a manager. Mm. And Jurgen Klopp has said, like, you know, it's okay to throw inserts, you know, insults when the game's going on. When the game finishes, it should stop. But it didn't stop. And he's going to have to learn from that. And maybe Klopp's right.
He might look back at that in 10 years' time and go, oh, I was a bit raw. But do you know what? That's part of him earning his stripes, learning his way in the trade and good times. So, yeah, great start for Frank. First season, FA Cup. We'll talk about them next week. Obviously, a little disappointing for Wolves.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Move it down to the other end of the table, my friend, where the real interesting business was taking place. So, of a million permutations, Aston Villa was sitting slightly prettier than everybody else. Knew if they won, they're safe. Watford needed for the results to go their way and Villa to lose, or to better Villa's result.
Yeah, better Villa's result, yeah.
Bournemouth basically had to win and hope the other two basically lost to give them a chance. So it was always slightly to Villa's advantage. And in the end, Rob, they did enough. At 0-0, we're thinking it could go either way. If West Ham scored, they're bang in trouble. And then of all players, of all the times, Jackie Grealish, the local boy, the captain, comes up, scores a magnificent goal. It just gives them breathing room then. They know even then if they concede one, which they end up doing,
they did, yeah,
they're in pole position and it's still going to be for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think we both really enjoy the fight to avoid relegation because we've been there and we've lived it. And I think Villa's particularly interesting, not only because, you know, I played with Dean Smith and I know him, you know, obviously very well, but just Villa as a club. And if there's one thing, the spirit remained, Rob, with his team throughout. The belief remained.
Yeah.
We both talked about how Dean Smith has kept on an even keel and kept his emotions in check and continued to believe in the team. He keeps saying it, and he's right to say it, Rob. There's a lot of talk about how much money they've spent and how many new players came in, but he is right. They did need a lot of players. A lot of loan players went back. A lot of players' contracts were finishing. They needed to bring a lot of players in, which they did. I just didn't know whether it could work out. So many new players coming in. We've seen others try this and fail, and they were close to doing that, but he's pulled it together. And the team, even though there's a lot of new players, Rob, the team didn't really change that much. The 11 was pretty similar.
Yeah.
And I got to say, we know that, he said it himself, Dean Smith, that the ownership, a couple of billionaires, they're going to go again with money, and they're going to buy a lot more players again. And you've got to think now, given this year and the benefits of staying there and the players learning and getting used to the level, they should be okay. I just hope, going back to Jack Grealish, I hope he stays with the club, Rob.
Yeah, can he give it one more year? Could he be the one more year, like, I'll give it another go?
You know, what is he, 24? He's 24.
Yeah, it doesn't have to happen next season, does it? I mean, listen, if a really enticing opportunity comes in, he's going to want to look at that at the stage of his career and go, I've got to do it. But
yeah,
I'd love to see him have one more year with the club. I think he's been a really good captain. I think it's meant something to him. It's interesting that we talked about, he said during the lockdown, they had Zoom conversations, talked about the team defending, individual defending. And it was interesting. He said, since we've come back, I've not quite been as sharp as I was. My goals I've not been as an attacking, but my mind's been on making sure the team defend well and keep clean sheets. And I thought that was very giving for a young guy who's
know what it's meant
about the skill and the things, but he was 100% right.
Yeah, I mean, look what it's done. And fair play. Again, I think we spoke on the pod around that time, Rob, that the managers that prepared well during this really strange time, where as a manager you can do very little or you can do a lot.
Yeah.
You know, with Zoom sessions and video sessions and team sessions. And I know Dean Smith watched all the games again. And credit, full credit for improving the defensive abilities of the team. And that's been, in the last four games, they conceded two goals. Beat Palace 2-0, Everton 1-1, beat Arsenal 1-0, and this game 1-1. So that, you know, as well as important players stepping up, particularly the midfield players, that defensive thing's helped it. And they've stayed in the division. I'm so pleased for him. As one of the nicest guys I met and I played with in all my time playing. And what a good guy and what an amazing job, Rob, they've done. And the Villa fans, it's just a blimmin' shame.
Yeah.
Those Villa fans that love him, you know, I'm sure they've enjoyed it at home, but different to being at Villa Park or the whole end when, you know, some of the recent performances will have got the place bouncing.
Well, do you know, I was thinking about the fans, and you talked today, and obviously they were away on the last game, but I was thinking, like, how bad would it have been for Villa to have gone down in the, you know, some of those fans the last game would have been in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And the next time they're going to go in the stadium, they'd be in the Championship.
Yeah.
Like, you got robbed of half of a season. It would have been awful not to have been around it. So I'm so pleased for the football club. We know we know the kind of support we have. It brings something, it brings an element and another element to the Premier League. And well done, Dean Smith and his group of players, because they were in trouble, Rob. They were one of those teams, you know, were in the bottom three when we got back, and somehow a good run of form of late. It's 10 points or something from the last 12 available, and they got the job done.
We got to rethink as well. You know, when we often sort of think about teams getting relegated, we look at the strikers.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have strikers that's going to get 10 goals.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Striker, has he?
They haven't had that at all.
I know.
What they've had is midfield players, both central ones and wide ones, that have chipped in.
By the way, you go and get a 10 or 15 goal striker, you're good. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a priority. Wesley hasn't really worked. Samatta doesn't look like he's got a goal in him. That's where you got to spend serious money. Go and get one who you know.
Yeah, Danny Ings. Yeah, exactly. Going from a good story, Rob, let's go to a bad story. Let's go to Watford. We'll end with Bournemouth because that's slightly different.
Yeah.
How much has Gino Pozzo messed up this season? I don't want to say the club, that's a little harsh, but his involvement, the players getting used to different managers, different ideas, different selections, different systems. Yeah. We know he's involved type. We know he fires coaches when you wouldn't expect it. But this season, he's been busy.
This is another lab. This is another level.
And this is another level. Club now. Set him back many, many years, maybe.
I think I said it before, and if I didn't, or if I've, excuse me. It smacks of arrogance. It smacks of being out of touch. It smacks of being insensitive. It smacks of a guy who saw a football club who were out at the bottom three, who probably looked around and thought, we've got enough here to stay out. I'll sack him. And you know what, Rob? Good riddance to you back in the championship. Enjoy it, and let's see how you do then, and see what... Because the position is, I look at it, Robbie. If I go down, if Nigel Pearson would give me hope, if I'm playing for Nigel Pearson, one, he's been there, two, the way he conducts himself.
Never been relegated.
And his leadership qualities, I think I have a chance. That's all he can do going into the last day if you're in that situation. But to sack him knowing that if you go down to the championship, he's a guy who can get you out of that league as well. There's some people who ain't really set up to work in the championship. I'm sure Jose Mourinho, Everton team, I'm not quite sure he's going to build a team to get out of challenge. Nigel Pearson will get his hands dirty and build you a team that can get out. Mm. So there's no sort of foresight or thought to it. And you know what? I just think if you're prepared to make that kind of decision on a whim, you deserve what you got.
You're right. I mean, you talk about the arrogance and you could also talk about you don't know football as much as you think you know football. Yeah. How about leaving it to the professionals? Mm. Yeah. In key decisions, because they do that, to be fair. The Pozzo family and his close advisors, they decide on all the players. The manager has little to no say and who comes into that football club. And, you know, there's been good players, Rob. And Jared De La Feu has been a huge miss with his long-term injury. A huge miss this season. So they've managed good recruitment, but just... deciding on hiring and firing so quickly, at a whim almost, has really hurt them. And I don't know what to think of next season.
I worry, Rob.
Well,
it's a slightly aging group.
Are you
going to look forward to the championship? How many Watford players are going to look forward to a year in the championship?
I think there could be big turnover of players.
And
they've done it before, Rob. They've gone into that club.
The turnover, they might. But A, you've got to go and get the right guy.
As a manager, and pick the right players. All I'm saying is they've done it before. Went into this football club in an awful period, financially difficult, and they got them into the Premier League, and they've been there, was it five seasons?
Yeah.
Not sure what the number is. Actually,
Times, very different money, very different situation. I'm a little worried. And I think there's a few players down there who will feel, some quite rightly, that they're too good for the championship.
Yeah, maybe. That's up to...
Taylor Saw, I'm not saying he's going to be one of them, I'm too good for this, like in an arrogant way, but his ability is more suited to Premier League than Championship. And if I'm a Premier League owned manager and I think I can get Saw for right money, I'm going to have a little nibble at him.
Yeah, I think there'll be... I think he mainly would be the guy that people might come and get. Deeney will be up for a fight in the Championship.
Yeah.
And some others... I just think there'll be a lot of turnover. I think there will be. And he'll try and go again. Now he goes to work, Gino Pozzo.
We'll see. Yeah, you've sacked the guy. Now we'll see. Knowing him, he'll appoint Nigel Pearson as the manager to get him out of there. Nothing surprise you with that.
Yeah. Who knows?
Let's talk about the saddest story in some respect when we talk about a young English coach with a bright future. It was not that long ago being talked as a possible England manager. Eddie Howe, Bournemouth. Ran out of opportunity, really. I mean, he bought something very bright, very smart to the league. He was a great philosophy on the way he wanted to play. I kind of felt, I think I said when we had a little summing up, as though somewhere his philosophy, he got too stuck to his philosophy and lost sight of points, in my view. When they were playing out the back a few games, Rob, they got, I remember, the Newcastle game, which was a huge game, they got beat 4-0. They give two goals away in the first 20 minutes of the game, playing out the back, or playing without security out the back, where I'm going, come on, Eddie, you can't keep doing this and think you're going to get away with it. And then at the other end of the pitch, Callum Wilson couldn't find a goal.
Which I think will be the main reason. He would probably say, listen, we're not changing our philosophy.
Yeah.
And normally, Rob, what we've seen from Bournemouth is that the attacking player and the front players do well enough offset mistakes made from playing out for the back. It's like, you know, it's risk and reward. And for the most part, the way of doing that has led to goals to be enough points to stay in it.
I'll ask you a question just on that then, just before we move, because I think it's important. If you start seeing, if you're working with a group of back four, and this is what I saw, a team that started to lose a bit of confidence, and we know what that's like, be a little bit nervous out the back, so it's not as smart and as slick. If you're seeing that, Rob, and then you're seeing your forwards not scoring as much, Callum Wilson went on a 6-7 games, couldn't find a goal, are you not just then adjusting it as a coach? Mm-hmm. Or you sticking to what you say? And surely you've got to start saying, oh, hold on, we've got to be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. I think, for me, that would be a natural reaction to adjust and to start grinding a little bit, and let's get back to basics a little bit before we can be expansive.
Nil-nils and
he's never, maybe a couple of games, Rob, we've seen a lot of games.
Just say he's never done that, or he won't do that. Is that a little bit like, not, and it's not as big a problem, is it a little bit Pep-like? I don't have to worry about defending because, is that a little bit, I wouldn't say weakness, because
the only thing I'd say, Rob, and maybe he would say, is that the team has been built on this philosophy. It's been there many years now, Rob. All the recruitment is based on we're going to get the ball.
Having possession of the
ball.
We're
going to have possession. Yeah. So to all quickly change that with the players, David Brooks's and Jonas Stanislas and Josh King and some of the attacking players that they've got, the creative players they've got, he maybe felt that it was never going to be a successful strategy. But I agree with you. At some point, surely, you got to think, let's just try and grind a little bit, get some results, get some points. I mean, it always is so tight at the bottom. Yeah. Just you know, I mean, what was it? Point. It's a point. They went down by a point. You know.
Villa got 35.
Yeah. So, another question for you, Rob. Just in terms of him as a manager, right? And we've spent many times, particularly me, really thinking this is a smart young English coach that is ready to go to the next level in the Premier League. Is it a warning sign to other managers, maybe Sean Dyche, that at some point you have got to move? That every manager, Rob, at every club, however good they are, is going to fail at some point. There's a natural cycle. Is there a long cycle? Is there a time where he should move on?
It's the Pochettino effect. There might become a point where it becomes too familiar. They get used to you. You get used to them.
And it happens with everybody.
Just naturally needs a change. It doesn't, because I think Beck asked us in the show about Eddie Howe. I still think Eddie Howe's a Premier League manager.
Yeah.
Been given another job. And do you know what? In a very perverse way, I think he'll learn a bit from this and he might come back a stronger, better coach for this little experience and know a little bit more what to do in those situations. See the warning signs a little bit more. I've said it before and I'll say it again and I want to go on record as, I don't think his backroom staff is strong enough. I think he's got mates there who he's had along the way. He needs to go and challenge himself with somebody who sees it differently. He says, no, Eddie, it's not always heads. Think about tails. No, Eddie, I know we're great attacking, but what about our security in the middle? Just wanting to take stock of himself. And that's what he might need to do, like supposedly Jose did. Step out a little bit. Have 6 months. Go and see some teams. Go and think about your team and come back again.
Another thing, Rob, I looked at today as well, and it's the sort of day that you are going to get this sort of thing. I felt in some way, of course, incredibly sorry for Eddie Howe as he almost broke down.
He almost broke
down in tears. Yeah. And, you know, we sometimes get a little clouded by the demeanour of a manager, Rob, and what's going on behind that exterior.
Yeah.
And the thing that we'd say, Eddie Howe, and to be fair, maybe you've been stronger than I have about, show me some emotion, Eddie. You know, get angry or do something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when you see him there almost breaking down in his interview, what it means to him. He loves his club with every cell in his body. But just to see him kind of quivering a little bit today was like, wow, this is what it means. This is what this club means for him. This is what to be a Premier League manager and to be relegated. And I know, I've been there and I've quivered. And I've seen my teammates cry being relegated on the last day of the season at Leeds in 97. And I just thought that was like a powerful moment, actually, Rob, of Eddie Howe. Like, finally, the realization that this ride in the Premier League is over.
Mm. And you're 100% right in the relegation. And as I was watching him today, I was thinking about my little old Wimbledon team, Rob, which were a kind of hybrid of Bournemouth. Didn't play the same football philosophy. A small club. We had a different, you know, we had a certain pay structure. We weren't no big stars, but we kind of held our own for so many years. And I just thought, you know, the Premier League needs a little clubs like Bournemouth to come in and fight their way. But I just hope Eddie takes his time. I know that there's going to be a meeting between him and the ownership. He said whether they stayed up or not, that was going to happen. Be interesting how that conversation goes. You're right. He took it personal. He looked a little bit broken, as if like he'd give it everything, his biggest thing. He almost feels like he's let the people of Bournemouth down. And that's such a shame. But
you shouldn't think like that, Rob.
It's been brilliant.
Take it from the fourth tier to the Premier League like that is stunning for a club the size of Bournemouth.
Yeah, and there'd be big shoes to fill if he did decide that it was his time. But we'll see how that one pans out over the next sort of 6 weeks, mate, before we get back to it all again. But unfortunately, Bournemouth and Watford are going to have a season away from us down the Championship. We'll keep an eye out how they go. Just before we close up, mate, we needed to tip our hat to a certain little magician who left the stage today, David Silva, 10 years at Manchester City, won 11 titles there, was one, I think was in it at the start, was an integral part of what the success at Manchester City. Yaya Toure, Vincent Kompany, David Silva and Sergio Aguero were the four pillars that started. Yeah. And David Silva is bowed out now, only Aguero's left. But a little emotional, and you could see he was trying for his goal, and he's just been a wonderful servant and just a different... And I think I said to Bex today that forget power, pace and all the things, you know, that we saw in midfield. He was just an artist. He's one of them natural footballers, lovely left foot. Can see a pass in that, can play around you. You know, and would have, I remember Pep saying, he has the ball in any situation off a teammate, he'll get you out of trouble.
Yeah, I remember, I go way back, I covered the La Liga many years ago and watched him play for Valencia, Rob. And I mean, just fantastic, of course, back then. I think David Villa was in the side, a really good Valencia team. Was Unai Emery manager there? I can't remember.
Unai Emery?
Yeah, but maybe somebody before him. But anyway, a good Valencia side. And to watch him, and you're right, of course, the technical stuff. I think that's pretty obvious. But as I said in the show today, it's not just that. He's got a bit of fire in him, which you have to have to be as consistent and to be as reliable and to win as much as he's done. A little fire, a little toughy. You know, he'll get cheesed off and give you a little bit of, you know, he'll give you a bit of stick back if he gets it. But in terms of a consistent performer, of all the, from our time of playing and watching to now, has there been a more consistent technical midfield player that produces great numbers every year in top flight? I mean, are we at that
What Mesut Ozil should be, isn't he? Is that exactly what Mesut Ozil should be?
Is there any other, so Rob, that spring to mind about being consistently technically superb?
Yeah.
I mean, De Bruyne now is on that same path, but before that, it's just that he's a very, he's kind of an un, you know,
unique. There's not many in that mold, is there? That do what?
So England does. National team would kill for a player like David Silva just to knit things together like he does for Spain.
And you know, Spain have made him in abundance, haven't they? And that's the problem. They've got the copyright on him. He was what Jackie Wilshere was supposed to be, wasn't he, for us?
I mean, they've got a Champions League to go, mate. I mean, you know, they're still in with that, and David Silva's going to be involved in that, and it could still be a very special season for Manchester City, and David Silva's going to continue.
Absolutely. But the last we've seen of him in the Premier League, and it is a shame, and it's been a pleasure watching him for the 10 years, and just thought it was right to tip our hat to him, mate. But I think, Mr. Musto, nearly a year on, we have finally come to the end of a Premier League season. I mean, Project Restart, June 17th, I've got to be honest, I was a little apprehensive what was coming, what might happen, what was going on in the world. And I've got to be honest, we get to July the 26th today, and it's been some ride, but it's been a great ride. It's been safe. I think it's helped people out of some difficult situations. Football has played a huge part in communities and social issues and players standing up and saying their part. It's been, football has done a lot of good, I think, in the last few months.
Yeah, and the Premier League, I think, deserve a lot of credit for carefully reintroducing the league to everybody, working with the government, of course, that was the most important thing about safety issues. Zero positive tests on the last bunch of testing, a very safe environment, and just really well done. The rule changes that would be brought in sensibly, no neutral venues, I really thought was important to maintain the integrity of this season. No asterisks for me. Yeah. A very different season, and of course the big break was incredibly different, but nothing else, you know, it's done well done. To the trophy lift of Liverpool.
It was
no fans there. I don't see how it could have been done much better. So, of course, Bundesliga showed England and the rest of Europe the way in terms of getting back safely, which was a big confidence boost to the Premier League. But well done, the Premier League. And what a season it has been, and very long. And I got to say, lots of surprises in terms of performances from Arsenal to Spurs to relegated to staying up to Newcastle United to Brighton to... It's just been a very difficult season to in some ways understand with some of the results, some of the finishing positions.
And it was some Championship Sunday, my friend, as we got to the end of, I think, the longest ever Premier League season we've had to date. Yeah. At the top, United and Chelsea get their business done. They get Champions League football. At the other end, Villa survive. Bournemouth and Watford, they're going to have a year in the Championship. Look out for our next podcast. That's going to be sometime next week after the FA Cup final with Chelsea play. Take on Arsenal in an all-London affair. And then that week, we'll also do our two Robbies Awards, mates. Those are the big, prestigious awards that everybody in football is looking for. So we'll go to our two Robbies. Might even try and see if Lady Lowe's around and drag her into some of those awards if we can. Yeah. But for the final time this year, mate, in the Premier League 2019-2020 season, I'm going to buy you a beer.
Let's do it.
Afternoon. So let's do it. I'm Earl. He's Mutko, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe and be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.